Okay, good morning everyone. We are in Sefer Melachim, Aleph, second parak. This is our third week. We breezed through a story, which we're going to see briefly again. Let's begin on Pasuk Gimel. V'yavo Adoniyahu ben Chagis. This is page 20. At this point, David is no longer. David passed away. V'yavo Adoniyahu ben Chagis. And now you have Adoniyahu, who was the person who wanted to take over the position of being the king. But as we know, instead it was handed over to Shlomo. So Shlomo is now the new king. Adoniyahu felt he was slighted, as we touched upon last week. Went El Basheva, Aim Shlomo. He went to Basheva, who was Shlomo's mother. She was concerned that because Basheva was part of the process of making sure that Adoniyahu would not be the king, that now that she sees Adoniyahu, perhaps he was not coming in peace. So that's why she had to ask the question. She said, no. He said, I'm coming. I'm not trying to wage a war. I'm coming in peace. So he was hoping that he'd be able to speak to her. And she said, go ahead, what do you have to say? And so he said, At yodat, you know, kili hoisa hamulucha, that I was supposed to be the king. I definitely 100% should be the successor to David HaMelech. If you'd ask all the people around, everyone turned their face to me. They looked at me as the next leader. So, I'm not the king. And the only reason why I'm not a king is for a very small, insignificant reason. But Tisav HaMelucha, the Melucha was taken away from me. Batil Ochi was given to my brother, to Shlomo, this little kid, who has no real skills of being a king, just because Kimi Hashem Hoysala, that's what God wanted. The truth is, you know, forget about God for a second, you know, I really should be the next king. With that said, V'yatoan now, Shel Achas Anechi Shalmitach, I have one question, I have one request. And if it's possible, when I ask this request, Al Tashivi as Panai, don't turn your face away from me, please listen wholeheartedly to my very small little thing that I'm asking. But tell me, love Damer. Okay, speak. What would you want? What was your request? I can't grant you this request, but perhaps I can speak on behalf and speak to the king, and maybe the king will give you whatever you want. What do you want? Some money? What exactly do you need? But Yomer, so this is what Adoniyahu said. Imrina with Shlomo HaMelech. Speak to Shlomo. I know he's not just Shlomo. I call him Shlomo HaMelech. I know he's the king. Ki lo yashiv es panayach. He shouldn't turn his face from me either. He should accept this very small little request, or as the English calls it, a consolation prize. This really insignificant thing I'm asking. So what do you want already? So v'yitinli es avishag hashunamis l'isha. Just provide for me this one little thing. Avishag hashunamis. As my wife, let Avishag be my wife. And as we saw in the beginning of Melachim Aleph, in the very beginning of this Sefer, as David was sick, he was having difficulty remaining warm because of his illnesses that he had, and therefore they decided, instead of an electric blanket, the next best thing is Avishag. Yeah, so that's what she was. Now, she was not married to David, as we established. David already had reached the cap, the maximum amount of wives that a king is allowed to have, which is 18. And therefore, for someone else to marry her is not a problem, because she was not really married to the king. But perhaps that is still an issue. And as we see in the Mesudas David, it's worthwhile seeing this again, Pasik Tesvav, Kili, which is the last medium-sized line in the Sudas David, Alki she'eloso hayav b'davar avishag. His request was for this woman. The etzim kavanoso, his true intention was not just because he loved this girl. Hayso was really his nase od, to become a leader, to retain some position of power, to grab hold of it. Veloimer, and afterwards, after he's married to Avishag, who had a relationship of some sort to the king, that he'll be saying, Ani Amloich, I should be the one who's the king. And this was the proper preparations he felt was necessary to be able to create this scheme, this strategy. Lakacha says Avishag, by taking Avishag, says Mesudas David, Vishtamish betashmish melech, Shein roi ki'im lamelech. And we know when it comes to things in which the king uses, the royal scepter, with the throne, Avishag, these are things that no one else is allowed to use. And no commoner is allowed to just take the throne. It has to be given over to the next king. So the fact that if I'm sitting in a throne, which the king used to sit in, basically I'm making a statement. And that statement is, I'm the next king. So he's not going to have the audacity to sit in the throne, because that's where Shlomo Melech is, or to grab hold of his royal scepter, but he can at least grab hold of Avishag. And then hopefully by using this strategy, he'll be able to convince people that in fact he should be the king, because after all, look who I'm married to. I'm married to Avishag, who is on some level married to King David HaMelech. Okay, so that was his real intention. Obviously, being a good politician, he didn't want to say that was what he wanted to accomplish. He just wanted to give the impression that he was slighted, he was wrong. This is the least you can do for me is this. Okay. So, what do? Do they go up to Shunamis and ask her, are you interested in marrying this guy? And apparently that wasn't a question. The question is, should we go to David? Okay?
You said what?
To Avishag HaShunamis, right. They didn't go to her. Instead, what does she do? She goes to the king. Pasuk Yudches. Betomer Basheva Tov. So, Basheva responded, Tov, good, no problem. Anochi Adabar Alecha Elamelcha. I will go and I will speak to the king. That doesn't mean, Tov, that you definitely are going to be getting this request, but I have no problem, I'll speak on your behalf. Hopefully, my son will have the insight as to what you're really trying to accomplish over here, which is more than just marrying this girl. Pussy good test.
Wasn't Shlomo, David's last testament to Shlomo to be careful about the
Not him. You're right. Interesting. All these things are mentioned in this parak, so you could flip the beginning of the packet and see the things. Right. Right. Yoav. Shimi.
Right.
But and that we'll see how he deals with them later. But for some reason, the Adoniyahu he doesn't mention. Perhaps it was obvious. Maybe because it was obvious that Adoniyahu was a threat, and therefore you should be obviously careful and cautious, or you should certainly watch anything that he does, which is a threat to the throne. Then you should do what you need to do to take his life. Pasuk Yutess, and we'll see exactly how Shlomo reacts. Maybe he's like, yeah, so what? Let him take Avishag, and then maybe because of that, right, his lack of foresight, maybe Adoniyahu regains strength. Let's see how Shlomo responds. Pasuk Yutess, Tavo, Basheva El Hamelach Shlomo. So even though it's her son, but she goes to him as a king, Wadaber Lo Al Adoniyahu, to speak on behalf of this boy, Adoniyahu, and this person, younger man, V'yakam HaMelech L'krasa. So the king, again, this is his mother, so he stands up to greet her, V'shtachula, and he bows down to her, V'yeshev Al Kiso, sits in the throne, V'yosim Kise L'aim HaMelech V'teshev L'yamino. Then he then sits down in his throne, and he situates her also in a kisei, a special throne, a special chair, le'im hamelech, specifically for the mother of a king, v'teshev l'yamino, and she sits to his right. So instead of when normally you would ask for a request, the king is sitting in his throne, person standing there, maybe you're bowing down to the king, to show the proper kavod to his mother, he sets up a special throne, and so that they should have a conversation as equals of some sort, she is sitting on to his right. Now, I don't exactly understand what this Rashi means, but if we look in Rashi says in Pasuk Yutes, L'Aim HaMelech, what exactly does this mean, L'Aim HaMelech? Who is the mother to the king? So it's referring to Bathsheba. But for some reason, the Gemara has another meaning as to what this throne was. Because it almost sounds like this throne was not just created for her, but it was there before. It was there for a while. So that's what Rashi says, Omer Rabbi Seinu, that our rabbis say, which is quoting a Talmud in Baba Basra, La'ima Shel Malchus, is referring to the mother of the beginning of the first king of Malchus Beis David, the first king, which is of Malchus Beis David, David, his mother. Who was David's mother? I'm not really sure who that is, but he Rus, right? He's connected all the way back to Rus. His great grandmother was Rus, and that's what it says in English over here. Just quoting this Rashi in the very bottom of this page, that Solomon ordered that a chair be brought her in place and put in a place of honor at his right. That's what the Radak says. We'll see that again. And the Rashi cites this other interpretation that it's referring to the Ruth, who was Solomon's great-grandmother. The Marsha explains that this is inferred from the otherwise superfluous term, the king's mother. Had the verse been referring to Bathsheba, who is already mentioned in the verse, Scripture would have said a chair for her. So obviously we all know that this is referring to the mother, and therefore that is why the Talmud derives it as referring to to Rus. Okay, and, obviously the significance of that is the greatness. There's a couple more packets up here. Thank you. The greatness of remembering your past, even if this chair, this throne is idle, it's empty. Okay, they're all the same, I think. Right, is that paraphrase? Oh, sorry. Okay. But for him to always remember where he came from, not to feel on some level, as sometimes kings feel, as though they're a deity, they're a god. So to have a chair which reminds you that you have a mother, means you're quite human. If you look in the Radak says this another concept, that when it says, V'yeshev al kiso, that he was sitting in his throne, Acher shekom l'krosa, it means, says the Radak, the very top line, page 22, after he got up to greet her, Shtachlot, bowed down, Choslim Komo, he went back to his place, Al Kiso, to sit in his throne. So it wasn't that he was already standing up, he was sitting down, comfortable, he got up, bowed down, to greet his mother, the Siva, Alasum Kisil Imo, Teshul Yamino, and he asked that it should be placed on his right side, and if we look at what's interesting, what the Radak says over here, what does it mean? The Yesh Darash, quoting this Gemara in Baba Basra, La'im HaMelech La'im Shel Malchus V'hi Rus, referring to Rus. Now I don't know why the Radak has to say these next four words, Kedayin Haisa Hi B'Chayim, which means I guess she's still alive. But then the Radak says V'zeh Rachok Ma'od. That's way off. Right. That's far. Right.
Why are we surprised that Shlomo has a chair brought for his mother to sit near him?
He has respect.
How old was he?
12.
So who should he ask?
He's a Melech. He's a king.
But
so similar to respect. But he's the king.
He wants mommy next to him. He's only 12 years old.
In other words, it's expected.
That's fine.
Okay. I hear that. what I find, again, I'm not sure if this is also part of the Gemara that says that Rus was still alive. V'zeh rachok ma'od, for two reasons. First of all, it's his great-grandmother, which may not be so far-fetched, but first of all, we don't mention her at all.
Why would he want her next to him? She's an old lady.
Oh, okay. There you go. But the other problem is if it's in fact his great-grandmother's throne and she's alive, he's not going to kick her out of the seat and say, I'm sorry, this is my mom's seat. Out. So it's hard. Zeh rachok m'od for a few reasons. Anyway, so that's that's the behind-the-scenes story. But going back to the sentences, Pasachav, we now see that Bathsheba is now going to speak to her son, the king. V'toymer she'el achas katana anoichi sho'elas mitach. Almost as though she wants him to grant this request. Because we don't see the word katana when Adoniyahu requests it. But he said, she frames it as, it's a, such a small little request I'm asking for you. And from your mother, nonetheless. So if I'm asking you to do a very small little thing, I would anticipate you're definitely going to listen to what I have to say. Al tashim es panai. Don't turn your face, accept what I have to say. At least listen to what I have to say. V'yomru l'hamelech sha'al imi. Ask my mom. Ask me whatever you want. I'm not going to turn away my face. I'm not going to ignore you from at least a request. Doesn't mean I'm going to accept a request. I'm at least going to be receptive to hear what you have to say. Okay. So what does she have to say? We already know what she's going to say. But timer, yutan es avishag hashunamis. You should give over avishag hashunamis to who? I'll tell you to who. Adoniyahu achicha l'isha. To Adoniyahu. Now, he is your brother. He's not like he's a stranger. He is someone you're supposed to show love and care and compassion to. Okay, just do the small little thing and give her over as a wife to your brother. All right, can you do me that small little favor? V'yad HaMelech Shlomo. And this 12-year-old kid, who happens also to be known as Shlomo HaMelech, responded, V'yomer le'imo, and he said to his mother, and let's not forget, Shlomo is known to be one of the smartest people who walked the face of this earth. So he was able to see a ruse in front of him, and when he saw it, he knew what was coming. So V'yomer le'imo, so he said to his mother, oh, okay, so why stop there? Why do you only want this woman of Yishag Shunamis for Adoniyahu? Why is he stopping there? V'lama at Shoelos, why don't you ask? Why are you asking as the Vishak Hashunamis Adoniyahu? Why are you only asking Adoniyahu should only have that? V'sha'alu as hamelucha. Why don't you instead say, I have a small little favor. Could you please step down from the throne so this way Adoniyahu can sit in your throne and be the king, because he should be the real king. He should be the real successor to your father, to David. Kihu achi ha'godu mimani. After all, it makes sense. He's older than me, so he probably deserves the position more than I deserve it. Right, so wouldn't that be a better question for you to ask? V'lo Abiyasar Kohen Yoav ben Tzruya. And have some other good things. Once you have him as the king, we'll have some other nice people that will be by his side, Abiyasar Kohen and Yoav ben Tzruya. Yoav ben Tzruya, who we've already been warned about. And Abiyasar HaKohen, who was demoted, who also was part of the whole situation of trying to side with Adoniyahu. So, Mom, why are you asking me for that? Why don't you ask for that instead? And Rashi again points out over here in Pasuk Chaf Beis, B'sha'ali lo'as hamlucha, why don't you just ask me for being next king? After all, Tishtamish b'sharbito shel melech hitchilas hashrara. Once he uses the sharbit, which is the scepter of the king, once he starts using things which only a king is privy to, that's tchilos hashrara. That's already the beginning of becoming empowered. So for me to allow him to take this one seemingly small and significant thing really is not such a small and significant thing, because that's one step in the direction in which he'll end up grabbing hold. I give him a little finger, he'll take hold of the whole hand, and there'll be no turning back.
Sometimes, somewhat, I see this a little bit differently than Go ahead. It says, why are you asking?
Right.
Let him ask for himself. He's my older brother. Why doesn't he ask me, so to speak? I'm not sure.
No.
If you can interpret it that way.
Well, Adoniyahu knew that him going to his brother directly would not be as effective as Bathsheba. That's why he thought it would be best. But it's possible that he was also wondering, why are you doing it? Why isn't my brother coming directly to make this request? Is because he knows that he's up to no good is the reason why he's asking you to do it. Okay? But so he was able to see right through this this whole plot, this whole plan.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I don't understand how Bathsheba could not understand what he was up to. I mean, after all, she's an intuitive
person.
But politically, she did the right thing. Nobody would say that it was her influence. She makes him a strong king right from the start. Even though he wants his mother sitting next to him,
I would imagine also the fact that she began by feeling threatened, that she was scared when she said, are you coming in peace? So if she would, maybe, if she would have refused Adoniyahu, who knows what he would have done to her right on the spot. She was scared for her life. So maybe if she wouldn't have done what she did to accept his request, who knows, he could have killed her.
Maybe. If she would have accepted the request, that negates the power of the king.
Right, right.
That makes her the strong one.
Right, right. So she has, this is a way for her to...
She says, this is his job, I will refer, but...
Right, right. So this allows her to take a step back.
I have nothing to do with it.
Right, right, right. Right, right.
The messenger.
And again, probably similar to what was said, I would imagine she did know. And this was some type of a test to see how aware her son really was as to what's going around him. Not forgetting that David, in numerous occasions throughout his life as a king, there was a lot of things that were going on that he seemed to be oblivious about. So this was something in which Bathsheba maybe was curious to see if Shlomo got it.
She knew it, but she went to the Navi asking him to. She knew it.
So this is how he responds, knowing that this is not acceptable. So maybe he's going to say, you know what, why don't you just go back and say, maybe next year Abishag and Shunamis will be okay. Not today. Let's see, maybe he's very gentle and kind to his brother. After all, if it's his brother, he's not going to kill him. Well, let's see what he does. Pasachav Gimel. After all, Shlomo's a man of peace. He's not a violent man. V'yashava HaMelech Shlomo. So Shlomo HaMelech makes the following shvua. He swears by Hashem Lamor, by Hashem's name saying. So when you make such a shvua, it's not something which you can back down on so fast. Ko Yasali Elokim B'chol Yosef. Hashem should do this to me, you should add on to me, ki benafsho diber Adoniyahu es hadavar hazeh, that on his nefesh, on his life, on his soul of Adoniyahu, he has spoken regarding this matter, which is a poetic way of saying that the fact that he asked of this thing, that just cost his life. He is going to be killed. I cannot allow someone who is constantly plotting to take away the throne to remain. If he wouldn't have said anything, I would have remained the king. Everyone would have been fine. And this really does not show that Shlomo's not a man of peace. But what is he supposed to do over here?
If he learned from his forefathers, what did Yaakov do about Reuven?
When? What do you mean? With what? Right, right.
And Reuven did that to his father.
Right.
There was he slept with his concubine.
And if you learn from history, if he was a smart and learned, he would have known it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Why
do that?
Okay. So he now declares that Adoniyahu's life is over. V'yaton now chay Hashem asher hechinani v'yoshivani. Alkise David Avi. So he says now again, Chai Hashem, another language of an oath of a shvua. He says, Hashem, who has prepared me, established me to sit on this Kise David Avi, to sit on my father's throne. This is, I am the rightful king because my father was the king before me, and Hashem told me to do such a thing. The Asher Usali Bayis Kasher Diber, and that I should make a house as he spoke, was this translated in English, was made a dynasty for me, a bias continuity. Ki hayom yumas Adoniyahu. Adoniyahu is going to die, but not like in the American court system. We can be in the death row for about 12 years. Hayoyim yumas Adoniyahu. I'm not going to let this tarry a second. He's going to be killed today. V'yeshlach hamel Shlomo b'yad Adoniyahu ben Yoyada. So, who does he choose? Probably some barbarian, some violent man who loves murdering all the time, killing people. He picks Benyahu ben Yoyada, v'yifkabon, he chances upon him, he meets Adoniyahu v'yamos, and he is killed. Doesn't discuss how he's killed. Now, obviously I'm being facetious when I say that Benyahu ben Yoyada is a wild... violent man.
Before you get to that, is this based on the concept that anybody who rebels on any level against the king dies? Is that the concept we talked about? This
sounds like Mord B'Malchus. Sounds like he was Mord B'Malchus. Yeah, he definitely was rebelling against the king. Or Adoniyahu, to the extent that he wanted to overthrow the king. That's the ultimate level of being Mord B'Malchus.
Even though at this point it's not an outright action, he's looking at what down the lane.
That request itself was was not an acceptable request. That the very question shows your demeaning.
Like, therefore, it has to be ended just like that.
Right.
What Hashem wanted from Shaul. Just do it.
That's
don't think about anything else.
Right.
Do it.
That's by a mulling?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the idea. That you can't, no hesitation. That's what he did. Ki hayom yumas Adoniyahu. And again, Shlomo was a man of peace. Realized that sometimes the only way there can be peace is, unfortunately, on the other side of war, or the other side of bloodshed. And that's what he did. Now, Benyahu ben Yoyada, as is brought down in the Radak, asks a question. He was not a violent man. In fact, he was a very holy individual. If you look in the Radak, in Pasuk Chaf Hei, the Radak asks the question, Alpha Pishahaya Kohen, Benyahu ben Yoyada was a Kohen. And as a Kohen, he was constantly involved in the Avodah, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but in Mishkan, he was involved in service. And we know one of the laws of a Kohen, for those who are Kohanim, or married to Kohanim, a Kohen is not allowed to become Tami Mace. You're not allowed to come in contact with the dead. So the question is, that the Radak is asking, how of all people could Shlomo HaMelech, who's a religious man, how could he have appointed a Kohen to have done this job of killing Adoniyahu? Why would he have done such a thing? So the Radak gives two answers over here. One, which is the last medium-sized line, it says, Kishipagabo Lomes Miyad. When he encountered him, he didn't kill him immediately, didn't die immediately. The Solg Yodumimenu, he removed his hand from him, Teramosa before he died. In other words,
he wasn't there when he died.
Right, he wasn't there when he died. He didn't actually touch him when he died, so he might have cut him, stabbed him with a sword, whatever it may be, and a few seconds later, a few minutes later,
he died.
And that's the meaning of the pasuk, v'yifkabo v'yamos. It doesn't say that he just killed him. It was v'yifkabo, he first encountered him, which means then he withdrew from him, and then he died.
But under extenuating circumstances, as far as the Kohen, he wasn't Matas Yo and his sons, were they Kohen?
Well, you have to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're extenuating.
That may be the second. That may be kind of like the next answer. But this is not really...
And that would mean that no Kohanim are allowed to go to the army. Is that true?
It sounds like
is that true?
Right.
I mean, in Israel...
It's been mentioned, yeah. So, if we just see...
Is there a specific reason why he picked him?
Yeah, we'll see in the English another interpretation. But if we just finish the Radak first, then we'll see what it says on page 23 afterwards. So the Radak gives another answer. So this could get into the Chanukah story a little bit. Even though you're not allowed to become Tamei, you're not allowed to actually come in contact with the dead, which there's obviously, there's also different laws between a Jew and a non-Jew, by the way, right, which is another thing. So, but Makom Mitzvah Mitamei. So when it comes to a mitzvah, which could also have to do with the safety of
the nation.
The nation, right? So here, he was doing a mitzvah. So a Kohen who's engaged in the mitzvah is allowed to become Tamei. Velasos, so what mitzvah was he doing? Velasos mitzvah samelech mitzvahi. To do the commandment of the king, that's also considered a mitzvah. A mitzvah means a commandment. So it's a mitzvah to adhere to whatever the king tells you to do. So you have an obligation to do it. Doesn't make a difference even if you're a Kohen. V'chein mutar l'kohen lehilachem b'melchamos mitzvah. And that's why a Kohen is allowed to engage in battle, provided that there's some mitzvah attached to it, a malek, etc. L'tameh, to become impure. L'fikach nosnu shlomo sarsava. Therefore, he chooses this person of all people, Ben Yah Ben Yahyada, to be his sarsava, the head general of his army. L'chein perashti b'sefer Shmuel, fine. Now, if you look in the English over here, okay, that at least gives us a hector, a loophole, leniency as to why he was allowed to kill Adoniyahu. So, wasn't there anyone else? There could have been someone else. So, on page 23 in the bottom, where it says, why did Solomon choose Ben-Yada for this task? One who is called upon to commit a violent act can easily do it cruelly and angrily, out of desire for revenge. Solomon wanted to avoid this. He chose a man who was distinguished for scholarship, piety, mercy, someone who would carry out his mission with the purest of motives. So says the Avinezer. So he wanted, when Adoniyahu should be killed, you also have to remember, Adoniyahu was his brother. Okay, fine, he deserved to be killed, but there was some level of compassion that he wouldn't want some person to just completely kill him in a way which, you know, butcher him and maybe not show the proper respect after he was killed. So he wanted someone who had no attachment to the that which he was doing, but only doing as he was instructed to do with no ulterior motives whatsoever. So that's why he chose Ben-Yoyada to be the best candidate. And perhaps based on what the Abnezer says, that's the reason why he also chose him to be the Sarsava, to be the general. He wanted someone who had this holiness and spirituality about them in order that when they would be victorious in war, it was not based on their brute strength, but also, or rather, with Hashem's hand.
What's the halacha?
Yeah.
If a Kohen is walking out in a field,
right,
and he sees a mace, and nobody's there to bury
the base mitzvah, that's a base mitzvah, Kohen is allowed to become impure. Right? A base mitzvah is permissible. It's only when there's someone else to do it. Right. In this situation, there is someone else around, but perhaps that's what the Avnezer is saying, is that there was no one really on the caliber of Ben-Yoh and Yoyada to do this task. So it's like he was the only one to do it. Well, I mean, Shlomo is in his castle and his throne. I would imagine there was a bunch of soldiers and other people that could
have. No, I'm talking about when he went out to
eat. But it says Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo, that the king chose Ben-Yoyada to go out to kill Adoniyahu.
Right.
He could have picked anyone to do it.
No, but how do we know that Ben-Yoyada was in an area when it was one to one?
Well, it says here the Kli Yakar suggests that Ben-Yahu was assigned to the to carry it out.
But what I'm saying
to have it carried out, he didn't necessarily.
That wasn't the rest one to one. He chose somebody with a good reputation, that he was not a killer.
That's not the question.
The whole idea of a Kohen was if you're out alone in a field, you see a dead body.
Right.
So, the rabbi, yeah, so, but if there's somebody else around to do it, then
was not an encounter or there was an encounter?
There was an encounter, just the opposite.
Okay.
It's vague. What?
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
We have opinions.
It's the... It's interesting, the Kliyaka that you said that he carried out something to do it, but Yifka Bo is very clear. It sounds like he was the one that struck him. Yifka Bo.
It doesn't matter because the king can struck go do it. Even if there are a million people around, the king told him to do it.
Right.
So the king knew what he was doing, and he knew what the king had him do. Right.
So you say that Shlomo knew the halacha,
of course.
Well, and therefore what?
Therefore, he was the one to do it, even though he was trying to do something that you have mitzvah for. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's the end of Adoniyahu. Now, as we recall, there are other people that David warned his son about, and now we're going to see what he does with some of them. Yasar Kohen. Now, if you look again, going back to Pasuk HaBeis, in Shlomo's mind, fresh was not only Adoniyahu,
right,
but he knew that as soon as it was Adoniyahu, Yasar Kohen
and
Yoav would be right by his side. So as soon as Adoniyahu was killed, the next two people that were petrified, obviously, were Yasar Kohen and Yoav ben Tzruya. So the question is, what's going to happen with them now?
They know they're on the hit list.
Right. So Yasar Kohen, Omar HaMelech. So regarding Yasar Kohen, so he turned, it was said, the king said, what did he say? He said, Anasos lech al sadecha ki ish mavis ata. So he said, go to this place and go to this field. You are a person that you're going to die. You're going to be killed. However, I'm not going to kill you today. Why? Why not? Why doesn't he kill him like everyone else is killing? I'll tell you why. As Aaron Hashem Elohim lefnei David Avi, you did something positive in your life. Therefore, I have to show, just as my father told me to show gratitude to Barzillai for giving him food way back, so you did something positive in your life as well. And since you, Abiyasar Kohen, carried the Aaron in front of David, my father, I'm not going to kill you right away. V'chi his nisa. Bechol Asher his Ana Avi. His Anisa is translated in Mesudas Sion as Lashon Inoi Vitzar, because you suffered in all that was suffered also by my father. In other words, you were at some point showed allegiance to my father, and therefore I have to show you a little bit of respect for being by his side at least for some time. Okay, so for that reason, I'm not going to kill you right away. Okay. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Yeah. Okay. So, because of that, V'yigarish Shlomo es Abiyasar miyos kohen l'Hashem. So what does Shlomo say? I'm not going to kill you, but instead I'm going to make sure that you have no power whatsoever, so that you'll never end up trying to overthrow me. So what V'yigarish, that he
banished,
removed him from being the Kohen to Hashem, Lamali is Davar Hashem, Asher Diber, Albeis Eli Bishiloi. So he removed him from being the Kohen, as it said in English, to fulfill the word of Hashem that he had spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh, where the Mishkan was. So this is what Shlomo felt was the smartest thing to do. By removing him from a position of power, ultimately he's not going to be able to do anything anyway. So he's not a threat to the throne anymore. Okay. So that's what he decided to do for Abiyasar Kohen. But he only did this to Abiyasar Kohen because Abiyasar did positive things to David. So what does that help? It shows that even though he did rebel, but he was still a little bit showing allegiance to the throne of David. So therefore, just as long as they remove
positive aspects.
Yeah, this is a positive aspect specifically about me being a king or David being the king, I'm not as concerned of your possibly causing problems. Vashemu abba ad Yoav. Now, it's a good question, exactly the significance of why that's brought up.
I think on the next page, on number 27,
yeah, what does it say?
Do an overview of that.
It just means that they take off their place as the with the Kahuna Gold Sigala.
Right.
People can lose their
what is the divine position?
What? What?
If you read 27, there's a divine person.
Yeah, where does it say that over here?
27, number 27 on
page 25. So David decided several years early to depose Abiyasar from the position as Kohen Gadol, but the ouster did not go into effect until now. Rashi explains the reason for the delay. Fine. Now that the temple was about to be built, the divine curse against the house of Eli took effect. We know that in the very beginning of Shmuel Aleph, his two children, Hophni and Pinchas, they did things which weren't so good. They took meat that they didn't deserve. They did some inappropriate things with married women, whatever it was.
He's just from the house of Eli.
Yeah, right. You look all the way back.
Yeah, he's from the house of Eli.
So therefore, because of that, this
when it took effect.
Takes effect. Okay. All right. Fine. Okay.
Did we have evidence that he had
We actually in the beginning of Lachem Aleph, in the first parak, when Adoniyahu plotted to take over the throne when David was sick, he invited people to the party, and it said included in that the pasuk says, "Im Yoav ben Tsruya v'im Abiyasar hakohen." So it does mention Abiyasar and Yoav that were part of this group, and certain people were not invited to this big barbecue banquet, whatever it was. He invited all of his brothers, excluding Shlomo, and the people that were there were Abiyasar and also Yoav. So clearly they were part of this rebellion. Okay, so at least Abiyasar is spared, which again shows the sensitivity, the empathy of Shlomo HaMelech. Shmuel Bo'ad Yoav. But Yoav, who apparently didn't have the same merits as did Abiyasar Kohen, he was more afraid. Ki Yoav nata achrei Adoniyah, v'achrei Avshalom lo nata. It says, it's interesting, it brings us down in parentheses, that when it came to Yoav, he turned toward Adoniyahu. However, toward Avshalom lo nata. He didn't, when it came to the rebellion of Avshalom, Yoav was not part of that rebellion, but he was part of the rebellion of Adoniyahu. And the question is that better that he was not part of the rebellion also of Avshalom, or is it not as good? All right, so some explain the fact that he was not, if a person's part of all these different rebellions, it just means that he really doesn't have allegiance to anyone. But the fact that he specifically chose Adoniyahu and not Avshalom, that perhaps is even worse, because he showed that this person I definitely think should be the king and not the Shlomo.
Yoav did not reject David. It was David who rejected Yoav. Isn't Yoav the
general? Right.
It wasn't Yoav the general of the army
with Uriah.
Wasn't Yoav given the letter?
Yeah.
He's, order.
He shouldn't have done it, though. He read it out loud and everything.
But the king ordered him to do it. He warned the king. He didn't want to do it. It seems that he has to die because he has secrets.
He knows too much. The man who knew too much.
He also did. But he was very powerful. He also humiliated David, as we said. He didn't have to tell everyone and show what he was doing to Uriah. He showed the letter, which he shouldn't have. He should have just done it. Carried the letters. It's brought down that he publicized, right? But the psukim don't necessarily even say that. But in our parak, though, in Pasuk Hey and Vav, it does mention that he took the lives of people in a, which did not deserve necessarily to be killed. Avner ben Ner, Amasa ben Yeser. We spoke about how he went. He did it in a tricky manner.
I think of Shalom. It was of Shalom.
That too. I mean, he was, and David was upset about that.
That's right. He was upset about that.
You're right. You're right. So Yoav certainly has what to be afraid of.
It's definitely a victim, of course.
So what happens in the middle of Pasuk Chaf Ches? Vayanas Yoav el Oel Hashem. So he has to run away. So where does he run? Does he go into a cave? Right? What does he? Does he run to? I don't know. Some nice hiding place. He goes to a hiding place where everyone knows where he is. Which is Oel Hashem, the tent of Hashem. Yechazik b'karnos ha-mizbeach, which is the Mishkan, where the Mizbeach is. And he held onto the corners of the Mizbeach. Okay? So we look at Rashi in Pasuk Chaf Ches, Vashmua bo ad Yoav, the Rashi says, Shmuas mitzvah David shetziva lahargo. He didn't just hear that some other people were being killed, he heard that David, who's no longer alive, had instructed his son, Shlomo, that as soon as he becomes the next king and has the opportunity to do it, to kill him. The other is Shlomo's son, and it was known that he was hated. Shlomo hated him, David hated him. So his life was very much on the line. Then the next Rashi says, Ki yoiv natar achar adenev yachar yav shalom lo natar. Sof davar. At the end of the matter, of Obikesh Lintos, the truth is, when it came to Avshalom, he also wanted to side with him. El Nisyarish Yadayin Luchuchas Shel David Kayemes. The Gemara says that the only reason why he did not side with Avshalom is because David had some power. So as long as David has some power, then I better side with David. That's why, and only why, he didn't join Avshalom. However, when it came to the time in which Adoniyahu was around, David had no power, he was old, he was weak. That's when he said, you know what, let me join him. So that's the mentioning of those sentences.
Lean towards,
show allegiance to. So he grabbed hold of the corners of the Mizbeach. So, Pasuk Chaf Ches, Vayugad Lamelech Shlomo. It was told to the king, Kinas Yoav El Ohel Hashem, that's where Yoav was. Vehine Yetzal HaMizbeach, and that's where he was, but holding on to the Mizbeach, almost like, as we said before, like a base, right? Like playing tag. You know, this is
right. I'm safe
here. Vayishlach Shlomo as Ben Yoav Ben Yoyada Leimor Lech Pagabo, and it was sent to him saying, "Oh, go over there and kill him." Who did he tell? Ben Yoav Ben Yoyada. He keeps telling Ben Yoav Ben Yoyada to do this. Now, what's the significance of holding onto the Mizbeach? So the Radak tells us, then we'll remind ourselves of what we saw previously. Eitzel HaMizbeach, says the Radak, Kamo She'amar, as it says, Shehichzik B'karnos HaMizbeach. They held on to the corners of the Mizbeach. The Amar Amosenu Zal, and our rabbis teach us in Talmud and Makos, the second chapter, Ki B'davar Zed Ta'a Yoav. Yoav made a mistake. Ki Lo HaYakoyle TaMizbeach, El al shkaga v'al gago. The chesed me'im mizbechi v'lo al gav mizbechi. Similar to the cities of refuge, when a person would kill b'shogig inadvertently or manslaughter, then you're safe. Right. But if you're killed b'mezid, then you deserve to be killed. Very similar, right? In times before the cities of refuge were established, which actually they were established already in the days of Yeshua, but nonetheless, this was also a form of protection. But only can one be protected when it comes to holding on to the Mizbeach if it was B'shogig. Now we mentioned a couple of things. We mentioned before, when this incident was tried, that the purpose of this is for a couple reasons. First off, I'm holding on to the Mizbeach, maybe you're going to have more compassion. You're going to say, you know what, I'm a spiritual person, I made a mistake, and I'm trying to connect myself to God and holiness, So hopefully you'll forgive me for the sins that I have made. So that's one significance of why holding on to the Mizbeach has any power. The other idea is that if he's pulled out and judged on trial, the Beis Din will bury him together with all the other people in the cemetery who have committed crimes, right? And that they deserve to be killed by the Jewish courts. And that's, of course, an embarrassment to be buried together with, you know, choose your serial killer to be buried next to such a person. So by even if possibly you can be killed there, at least you know that you'll be able to be buried with your
family.
Your family, your ancestral plot. And also as another reason, right, it's also brought down because of the inheritance.
So as long as you're not tried, you're not buried.
Right, exactly. So that's what, but nonetheless, he said, I don't care. Lech pagabo, why don't you go and strike him down? Let's just see one more sentence. We'll stop. Yabo ben Yaho el oyel Hashem. So Pasuk Lamed, he in fact goes, ben Yaho ben Yoyada, toward the ohel, to this tent. Ben Yomer Elav, Komar HaMelech. This is what the king said. He said, say. He said, remove yourself. Get out of this place. Ben Yomer. So what did Yoav, who's no fool, he knew exactly what would happen if he would leave. He said, lo, no, I'm not doing it. Ki po amus. I would rather die here. And again, those the various reasons as we established. And we'll conclude with this last line on top of page 26. Yosha ben Yoho es hamelech davar lemor. And ben Yoav went back to the king, saying that which was told, ko divar Yoav ko anani. This is what I said to Yoav, and this is how I answered. What am I supposed to do now, Shlomo? And we'll find out what Shlomo advises thereafter.